Today is Tuesday, May 18th, 1999. I'm Alice O'Grady, and I'm interviewing Bob Crisco in Jackson, Wyoming. About January 1961, what were you doing?
Teaching school.
You have to speak really loudly.
I was teaching school in Kansas City, Missouri School District.
What were you teaching?
8th grade science, track, and freshman basketball.
And what were your plans for after June of 1961?
Either to continue teaching or to I was offered a job at the St. Louis Planetarium as assistant director, and that was under consideration.
And was that for a long term? You were thinking you might stay with that, or was there something else you had in mind eventually?
I was exploring the position of director. They were just building the planetarium. And ultimately, after the interview, they offered me the assistant's job, thinking that I could go into the service under the 3-month critical skills program, do my basic training, and come back as the assistant director. They thought if they hired me as the director, I'd get drafted.
You could go into the service, into the armed forces?
There was a critical skills program back then. Everyone was registered for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, of course, as a teacher, I was deferred. But the St. Louis folks thought that if they hired me as the director of the planetarium, which was just being built, and I would be in charge of getting it completed and so forth, that I'd probably get drafted because that wouldn't be in a deferred status thing, and so it wouldn't make sense to hire me.
Right.
But they did want me to come back later to be the assistant director, assuming that the planetarium was finished and operating. I turned them down because I did not want to go into service for 3 months.
How did you first hear about the Peace Corps?
There was an article on the editorial page of the Kansas City Star, on the back page, saying something about President Kennedy was forming a corps of young people who would go overseas to help people in other areas, and specifically mentioned at that time were the Philippines. And I assumed that if I volunteered, I would be probably going to the Philippines. They mentioned math and science teachers.
Hmm. When you filled out the application, did you specify the Philippines that you wanted to go to?
No.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done any volunteer activity like the Peace Corps?
Before that?
Before that.
Mm, just whatever kinds of things Boy Scouts did.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been overseas?
No.
Had you ever been overseas?
I had not. I'd been to Canada.
Okay. Why did you want to join the Peace Corps?
Because I wanted to have a little adventure. And at the same time, I could be helping some folks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I entered into it with any excess of missionary zeal. I probably was more self-seeking than anything, but I had always thought of adventure and excitement, and I thought this might be a fun thing to do. The idea of any danger didn't even enter into it.
Were you thinking of any professional advantages to going?
No.
Well, how did your family and friends react?
More or less positively. My girlfriend didn't like the idea, but because I was going to be away for 2 years, but she had 2 years of college left, and we had talked of getting married when I returned.
I'm going to go back because what kind of education had you had? You had a bachelor's degree?
Yeah, I had a bachelor's degree in mathematics and astronomy. And my last semester of my senior year, a friend of mine's father suggested I work on a teacher's certificate. He was superintendent of schools in Kansas City. And he said he would get me a job if I did so. I didn't. I had no plans. I didn't know what I was going to do with my math and astronomy. So I went to. I took education classes my last semester, and I went to summer school at what was then called the University of Kansas City, which is now University of Missouri at Kansas City. And I did my student teaching and methods classes, became certified, and started teaching in fall.
Oh, 60.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, back to your family and friends. Your parents encouraged you, or they accepted it, or what would you say?
Yeah, they didn't jump around in joy, and they didn't try to discourage me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they when it was something none of us knew anything about. You know.
What do you remember about the process of joining?
Well, there were two of us that had a rather strange process of joining. When, after I turned in my application, I received a notice that there was to be a test given at the General Post Office building on a certain Saturday morning. And I reported for the test, asked them how long it would take, and they indicated it would take most of the day, like 6 hours. So I thanked them and said I would come back another time. I was a track coach, and we had a major track meet that afternoon. And so I left. It was in May sometime. School was out, and I started working for the school district in the summer. I worked on a crew that took care of the hedges and shrubs and grass and so forth.
Where?
In Kansas City.
The city?
Yeah,
city
for
grounds?
The school. We went around to all the schools and kept the grass growing and so on. And I got a telegram saying I'd been selected to go to Ghana in the Peace Corps, except it didn't say Ghana, it said Chana. And I thought they may have misspelled China, thinking, and I thought at that time they were really somewhat overzealous in picking a place to go, but I've called to find out what it was all about, and found out it was to Ghana. You can imagine I was surprised because I hadn't even taken the test. Subsequently, the other volunteer, Ruth Whitney, and I took the test during the last week of our training.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Do you remember how you got the questionnaire in the first place, the application?
No. I'd written a letter to, I can't remember whether they called it Peace Corps or what, in this newspaper article.
Mm-hmm. And so they probably
But I sent it, and it had some place, Washington, D.C., 20025 or something. I don't think we had zip codes back then. It was Washington 25, D.C. And so I sent a letter just saying I'm interested in finding out about this.
Okay.
I did not email it.
When you got the telegram, did you have any second thoughts, or was it just...
My only reluctance was my involvement with my girlfriend. That was the only thing that concerned me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to miss her. But other than that, I had no problems.
Berkeley, what do you remember about your arrival, checking in at IHOPs?
Well, it was my first commercial airplane flight, and a jet. And I remember on the way, we had to change planes in Denver because our plane had developed a crack in the windshield, which fortunately did not give all the way through, otherwise we would have crashed. I remember getting to IHOPs. I don't remember lots of details other than some of the humor that we engaged in during the training session. The morning run down the hill to the bakery to get the goodies from the bakery that was down there. Watching the dog, I believe his name was Bruno, standing in the fountain at Sather Gate every day. Playing soccer. for learning how to play soccer. One weekend, a couple of us rented a Ford Falcon and drove around San Francisco.
Who was that?
Oh, I think it was John Buchanan and myself, and I can't remember who else. Maybe it was, might have been Charmin and Bill Austin that didn't make it through. I can't remember for sure who it was, but some of us went over, spent a day in San Francisco, and went over there a couple of times.
Did you ever go to the Rasco?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't remember much about it. Mm-hmm. I do remember you and a number of others coming in one morning rather bruised and scratched from coming down the hill in the dark through brambles, having had a wine party up on Strawberry Canyon.
Hmm.
You don't remember that, no. Alice?
No.
I remember.
Completely erased.
I wasn't in on that, by the way. I just remember. What happened to all you guys? Well, last night we had this function. I think Klein was in it.
who were your closest friends in the group?
John Buchanan. He was the closest, and I had others. Nate and Steve McWilliams, Bob Charmin, Tom Livingston I was pretty close with. Don Groff.
Remember the lecturers?
Yeah.
The faculty? What do you remember about them?
Some of them were good, some of them weren't.
Specifics?
I enjoyed the public health lectures of the evil files of Dr. Stiles, especially when he described San Francisco Bay as a giant toilet flushing itself back and forth through the Golden Gate, when he was discussing the pollution. I remember him, and Lysted was always enjoyable. St. Clair Drake, we always enjoyed listening to him. We had good, and then
what about Cowan?
Who?
Cowan, L. Gray Cowan.
Cowan was good, yeah.
You really didn't have any negative reactions to
There was the one guy who did the Cypress Citrus Surplus thing, which was sort of humorous. He was there once or twice.
He did
talking what? About living overseas. You remember the very funny Cypress Citrus Surplus he talked about?
And
how it affected the culture by having too much of the stuff. And he was talking about cultural change and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There were the Twee lectures. We had the three young men who were teaching Twee. One of them wasn't an Ashanti. I think it was an Ewe that spoke Twee. But there were those people. And
how about Sam Bowles and Miller?
Well,
Tom.
Sam and Tom filled a sort of a minor role in it to tell us how it was. In fact, Sam Bowles was somewhat forgettable. I mean, I when you mentioned now, I remember it was a real suntan young guy, but he didn't have a whole lot to say. Tom, I remember more from working alongside him for a year.
Yeah, it's hard to remember that.
I don't remember, other than seeing him, a vision of him standing in front of us on the slanted chair risers, or whatever you call it, and him looking up at us and talking about being teachers for East Africa, or teachers for West Africa from Yale program, and what it was like at, where was he, at Dartmouth, Hanko? Mm-hmm. Is that where he was?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then him meeting one of the young ladies in our group, and hanging out with them a little bit. Actually, I guess I hung out with Lucy some, too, when we were doing the training.
Did you work in the emergency room for the health?
Yes, I did.
Remember anything about that?
Yeah, I remember there were several things. There was one young lady, particularly, that they brought in. She had tried to supposedly commit suicide by shooting herself in the chest with a small caliber pistol. The question was whether she was really trying hard, because she shot herself in the right side of the chest, and it was some love triangle kind of a thing. and while they were treating her, her husband and boyfriend were out having coffee together in the cafeteria. So I do remember that. I remember the story that Marion Morrison told about the young Afro-American guy who had dived into the shallow water and didn't know it was shallow, and his head would jam down between the shoulders, and it destroyed a lot of the nerves. He was paralyzed, and he eventually died. So those, I remember a few things like that. And I had to hold a pressure bandage on the young woman's right breast where the bullet went in. And I was somewhat embarrassed because I was brought up fairly sheltered and strict.
Right, that was forbidden territory.
That was probably my first view of a nude breast.
Do you remember doing a research assignment at the end, bringing together your notes?
I do not.
Okay. How about the shrinks?
I remember we had interviews with, now that you mention it, I'd forgotten about that completely. I do have a vision of sitting with a guy with frizzy hair and glasses who was interviewing me, but I don't remember what his name was. I think we went two or three times.
Bob says two. But I swear I had both of mine at the same time. What about Brewster and Rafe Ezekiel?
I found Brewster delightful, interesting, on top of things. Rafe was more in the role at that time of a flunky graduate student, and he was one that was not worthy of a great deal of respect because he was a graduate student. He was sort of like us, only we were dedicated and he was doing his thing.
Do you remember filling out questionnaires for them?
No, I don't remember doing it. Sure we did.
And the selection process. Any recollections about that?
I remember the anxiety that a lot of people had about whether they were going to make it or not. And among the people who didn't make it, there were some surprises. Like Bill Austin, we couldn't figure out why he wasn't selected. As well as Arnold Zeitlin. That was a surprise. Charlie, whatever his name was.
Dirks,
the blonde-haired guy. We were not too surprised about that. And then there was a young man from Texas, short guy, that they had a death in the family or something, and he had to drop out.
Yeah, he went with us. That was Ed Mikeu.
Yeah.
I saw him in San Francisco.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. He was there.
Yeah, he was a nice young man.
Yeah. But he was selected. Remember anything about Ruth Whitney not being selected?
Now that you mention it, there was something vague about that, but then they changed their mind on her. She was interesting because she had one time they planned to be a nun, and it changed into this thing. And I visited her afterwards, after Peace Corps, in Quincy, Illinois, where she was from. I was going in that direction and stopped in to visit her.
She still wasn't a nun.
No, she, and I don't think she ever did become a nun. There are none.
Do you remember Bob Eisenman? These are people who were deselected. Pat Brooks.
No.
Erickson Bloomfield. I don't even know their first name.
No.
Okay. What about meeting George Carter in Berkeley?
I was impressed with him because he was very articulate and confident. And you sort of knew that this guy's in charge. It was impressive.
Remember Ted Brown? He was before George, and he...
No.
They said he was going to be our director, and then he wasn't.
I don't remember him.
Other visitors from Washington?
Charlie Peters, did he come out there?
Mm-hmm.
With a seersucker suit?
You remember his suit?
Yeah, it's that light blue suit he wore all the time.
Like Tom Livingston.
Yeah, they both had seersucker suits. I had my Madras McGregor sport coat that I wore for years and years and years. I wish I still had it, too.
Did your your feelings about what you were getting into, were they different at the end of training? At the beginning, you said you had really it.
I think I was more enthusiastic at the end than I was at the beginning, because at the beginning it was an unknown. And as we learned more about West Africa and what was expected of us and so forth, I think there was an eagerness to get involved with that. Mm-hmm. We all wanted to get going.
What did you do on home leave? You saw Pam, I guess.
Home leave.
Home leave. We had a week of home leave.
Oh, that.
After
mainly, I saw Pam, and I remember the last night before I left, we went out to Lake Tecomo, and some friends of ours had a place out there, and we went swimming off the dock. And the next morning, went home, and I dropped her off, and the next morning, everybody saw me off at the airplane. I think a lot of it was packing, trying to figure what do you take. 2 years.
Yeah. Washington, the White House.
That was exciting.
Meeting President Kennedy and not having your photograph taken?
Yeah, that was irritating me. I didn't get my picture taken. But going to the White House, this was impressive, was the pep talk that Shriver gave to us at the State Department. And, it just really got me charged up. It was like a football coach. And sitting next to him. It was like a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sat next to him at a breakfast at American University. I talked to him one time.
This is.
When we were out there as a. Actually, I was just thinking if I had to run over and put my clothes in the dryer because I was waiting. I was sitting next to Shriver. There was an event. I don't remember what we talked about.
But this was during that week in Washington?
Yeah, well, we were all having breakfast at the dorm.
Uh-huh.
And it was the day we went to the State Department. And prior to our getting on buses and being taken there.
Okay. What about the flight over?
One of the exciting things for me was that since it was a charter, we had a little more freedom on it, and I was able to go up in the cockpit and hang over the pilots so they could show me. I wanted to see the Southern Cross. Being an astronomy major, I'd never seen the Southern Hemisphere stars, or some of them, and so I remember looking out the front of the DC-7 that we were on for the 24-hour flight. I didn't sleep the whole time because I'm nervous on airplanes. And we landed twice at the Azores and at Dakar for fueling. I remember getting out and walking around those places a little bit. And then as we flew over into Accra, seeing the African coast below us with the ocean washing up and clouds and, well, actually we got to Dakar first, and we got out of the airplane, we were walking around, and I just sort of looked around and I took a deep breath and I think, I'm in Africa. I remember the thrill, because ever since I was a little boy I'd want to go to Africa.
Hmm.
And I am in Africa, even though I was standing on the tarmac at the airport. So that was exciting, and I guess I just don't have any distinct memories of the ride from the Accra airport into town. I remember they greeted us, and had a little ceremony, and then we were bused to Lagos, and sometime during that first week we had a party at somebody's house. And I remember we were worried that we had offended people because we started singing the Sloop John B. with the I Want to Go Home phrase in it. And that wasn't considered to be a cool thing to be doing when you just arrived.
On the plane, did you play cards?
No.
Remember the singers?
No. What singers?
Remember what else you did at Ghana? At Lagon.
What we did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had classes. We had high tea. I watched the lizards doing push-ups around in the sunlight. I'm fascinated with that.
And you saw the Southern Cross again?
I saw the Southern Cross. I don't remember a whole lot of what we did at Lagon. I have some tapes I made there.
Hmm. Bring them along.
Well, they're on a reel-to-reel. And there were tapes I sent to my girlfriend and my parents. I had a little Grundig Majestic portable tape recorder, which at that time was an unusual thing to have. It was running with batteries and stuff. And I still have those tapes.
Well, if Bob wants to...
Well, I'd like to hear them again.
Well, you can listen to them, but...
I was trying to find a reel-to-reel tape recorder to see what I had to say.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know some of them I recorded when we got there, sitting in my room, and talking about the different smells, and the humidity feeling, and what I was seeing, and so forth. And that would probably be the kind of stuff that might be of interest to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Getting your assignment. You were assigned to Copa Ridgeville?
Mm-hmm.
And you were with Lucy?
Lucy and I. Mm-hmm.
Were you happy about that, or have any feelings about that?
No, just curiosity. Where is it? What is it?
And what was your teaching assignment?
More or less junior and senior high school math and science.
Mm.
There were very few science and math teachers in our group.
Very few science and math?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was a science teacher. I remember there being...
Well, there were a few science teachers, but there were hardly any math, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's what I remember. Well, did your headmaster come for you?
I believe so. He came in a Rover automobile. And I had to sit in the back seat and kept bumping my head because the Rover at that time did not have a very large or very much headroom. It had a wooden frame around the inside of the back window. And I kept banging my head on it.
You remember seeing Tom Livingston leave? He was the first one.
No, I don't.
Anything else?
About?
About that, the training or the trip or the first week or the time at Lagos?
Nothing specific.
Okay. Then we will terminate the interview.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.